listening to Singularity, Episode 16. Today we cover Part 8 of Chapter 2 in A Course in Miracles. This is Angie, your host of Singularity, a podcast where we're not afraid to ask the questions that lead us to our truth. We will explore and journey our way through various sacred and inspired texts. Join me for the next few seasons as we journey through A Course in Miracles, the advent or beginning of a great awakening. And just like the text will tell you, this is but one version of the universal curriculum. There are many others, this one only differing in form. They all lead to God in the end. Go ahead and grab your coffee. Have your pen and paper handy and the text if you have it. Don't forget, a free version is available online at acourseinmiraclesnow.com. Let our journey to discovering our truths within these pages start right now. Welcome, Miracle Makers. I'm glad you've taken time for yourself today, and I'm thankful you're sharing it with me. In this episode, as we cover this final part of Chapter 2, the meaning of the final judgment, the Course once again redefines some old fear-based terminology, helping us shake off the old negative associations we have with these words, seeing them as they were intended. Words like judgment, apocalypse, and punishment are not at all what we thought. Let's go ahead and dive on in to paragraph 1. The text says here, egocentric is when we miscreate at the expense of the whole to serve ourselves. It's when we create with only our personal outcome in mind. The text stresses that we must be very clear on something before going into the real meaning of the final judgment, and that is, we were created. So, in order for us to understand the last judgment, we need to remember we did not create ourselves. We have to know what really happened. And what really happened is our creator, whose will is to create, left within every fiber of our being this same creative will. Remembering, too, the mind is where we create from. This means everything that has been and will be created is simply just a matter of will, or it is a matter because of will. Stronger than that, though, it matters only because of will. This is the key to undoing the old feelings about the final judgment. What we create, we believe is real. It's real in our minds, but this doesn't mean God sees it as real. The text builds as we start to let that sink in. So on to paragraph 2. The term last judgment has quite literally put the fear of God in us, and this is because of how we've come to understand the last judgment. An understanding infused with guilt that comes from the fear-based mindset is why we currently view the last judgment as a punishment. Here's the first truth to remember. God cannot judge. God doesn't have a dualistic mind. To judge is to see the difference between wrong and right, but God, in spirit, only recognized good. After each day of the creation story, it said, "And God saw that it was good." This wasn't a judgment. He wasn't comparing his creation. He was seeing the good in all he created. The existence of love is the only understanding of God. Judgment is something that came into play after our mind separated from the idea of wholeness. This dualistic thinking allowed for the idea that something outside of love could exist. Judgment is the effect of this. Again, I want to point out this is why God is incapable of judgment. Its purpose is to be used as a learning device built within this error of thinking to help guide us back to our true thinking. Just understand this, and the text will tie all of this together as we go. Paragraph 2 tells us this separation thought took a long time to take the effect that it has, and it will take the last judgment just as much time, if not longer. However, it's possible to shorten this time with the use of miracles. How? It says here, when the majority of us truly become miracle-minded, this will shorten significantly, meaning the last judgment could take place within a blink of an eye. So it is absolutely necessary for us to free ourselves from fear as soon as possible. The sooner we rise above the fear and begin living in the incredible peace this brings, the sooner we carry that peace into the awareness of others, being proof it's a possible achievement. Paragraph 3. We've thought the last judgment was something that God would do, but it is actually something we will do with the guidance of a greater knowing. Matthew 25:31 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Let's break that down. come into our glory is when we understand our wholeness, and all the holy angels with him is when we use the guidance of this greater knowing, or what this verse refers to as the holy angels, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. The throne is the altar of God, and remembering the altar of God is within us releases our truth, resurrecting our right-mindedness. The glory is when we sit in the understanding that we are whole. This last judgment is not a dealing out of punishment. Even though most of us feel like we deserve punishment, this isn't what is done here. In fact, it is a final healing. 2 Peter 2:9 reads, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations," meaning God, like a magnet, pulls only the godly from us, making this the mindset that rises up, leaving the temptation to fall away into the nothing that it is. Which is what the second part of this verse is also saying, and to reserve the unjust into the day of judgment to be punished. This is telling us the unjust or fragmented or the divided hold on to the fear, causing their own pain from their wrong-mindedness, but only until the day of judgment or the final healing, when right-mindedness kicks back in, will they no longer suffer. So this day of judgment is a day of final healing, when we can see only what is godly and the rest falls away. The aim of the last judgment is to restore our right-mindedness, not to punish us. Punishment is recognizing the miscreations for the offense that they are and then releasing them from our awareness, where we will say, "Depart from me," and it will be as though we never knew them. Remember, we did not create ourselves. We are God's creation, and we have been declared good by God already. So at the last judgment, we will not be judged or punished, but we will use judgment as it is intended to recognize and get rid of our miscreations. The last judgment could be seen instead as a process of right evaluation. Being a process means that there is a definite result. So in this case, a result of right thinking. Everyone will see what is good in what they create, and we will recognize in our creations the difference between the true and the false, what gives or takes from the overall experience of the whole. This is the meaning of the rest of the scripture in Matthew 25, verses 32 and 33. It says, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right, but the goats on the left." So at the last judgment, we will look at all we created, or all the nations, all of it. Then after, with the process of right evaluation, where our ability to choose will be right, we will see with complete clarity what is right and what is false. But until the final judgment, our will continues to bounce from free to imprisoned. Paragraph 4. The first step to freeing our will is to use judgment as a tool to recognize the difference between the truth and the false. Paragraph 4 tells us the true meaning of apocalypse is when we use judgment in this way within the separation mentality, it will be the complete and final destruction of this world of illusion. It simply cannot exist when we are in our right minds. When God saw what was good in everything he created, he saw that everything he created served and gave to the whole of creation. And since we are extensions of that, means we too eventually have to keep our awareness on only the good we've created. So this means we have to even take back the belief we gave to the creations that no longer or never serve the whole of creation. When we do this, what remains of our creations will automatically serve the whole by magnifying it. From this place, we can now look on our creations with love, as God did, because what remains is our unique interpretation and reflection of love. What happens to the miscreations is they will no longer exist. Because, well, one, they never really did anyway. But two, without our belief, the mind doesn't, can't, and won't acknowledge them. Hear that this way too. Belief is the tool that carries our power. Paragraph 5. So the last judgment not only freaks us out because we associate it with an all-powerful God dealing out a punishment of eternity and unfathomable torture, but we also struggle because we associate the word last with meaning death. This is the complete opposite of what it really is. This doesn't mean death. It means life. When we look at the last judgment as the course is showing us here, it becomes the doorway to life. Paragraph 5 tells us in verse 4, no one who lives from fear can really live. Let's review what part 8 is basically telling us. Our last judgment, within the guidance of a greater knowing, will not be a judgment toward ourselves. Again, the reason why can't be said enough. We are not our creations. We did not create ourselves. And 2, we have already been looked on by our Creator, and it was already determined that we are not just good, but very good. Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Instead, our last judgment is directed toward everything we have made, meaning our creations and our miscreations combined. And then we determine to keep active in our mind only what is love and serves love. And guess what? This isn't something we have to wait to do till after we die, or once we have come face to face with God. I think this is why the Course says we can apply it meaningfully and any time. I'll be honest with you, up until I read this very passage, I still thought even if my last judgment was mine to give, that it wouldn't be until I had left this body and then I would review my life and everything I had made. I was linking last with death. But the Course is telling us just by knowing the importance and significance of this judgment process, we can do our last judgment at any time. So we don't have to wait. We can start going through our thoughts and perform our last judgments now. Imagine living from this place. This is what being in our right mind commands of us. We can't not do it. The sole purpose of time is to give us time to get to the place of using judgment in this way. The last judgment defined by the Course is our own perfect judgment of our own perfect creations. When everything within our awareness is lovable, there is no reason for fear. Our part in the atonement is to get to this place where everything within our awareness is lovable, abolishing fear. Once this reality is seen as possible, others will begin to recognize the ability within themselves to do the same. That wraps up this episode. The thoughts I share in each podcast are my best interpretation of what resonated as truth for me. I love sharing them with you, but my intention is to evoke your own thoughts that will make rise within your awareness your own truth. Thank you for being a part of my journey and for allowing me to be a part of yours. With your coffee still warm and your notes fresh, take some time to go inward. Align yourself daily with your truth and take it with you into every experience. Until next time, keep shining.